Chapter 5 The City of Everslime.
Name? Asked the tall, thin man in jeans and a t-shirt at reception.
Linda Chapman,
replied a girl in Linda's clothes and with her face, but who looked a few years older. Age? The man continued his interrogation, filling in a form.
16,
lied Linda, hoping that the make-up applied half an hour ago hid the truth. The man looked at her suspiciously. So she continued,
I finished my GCSEs last week. Now I'm visiting a friend in Newbridge.
Are you a member of the Youth Hostels Association?
Asked the man.
And when Linda shook her head, he said, Can I see an identity document, a bus pass or something similar is okay?
I haven't got any documents with me,
said Linda nervously, thinking quickly.
But it's only for one night. My friend finishes her exams tomorrow. And then we're going camping.
She saw the man look curiously at her PC.
My camping things are at the left luggage at the station for tonight, but my computer's too valuable.
Linda smiled sweetly.
I'm writing an e-diary of my summer for school.
Smiling, the man gave her a key.
Third door on the left. You're lucky. You're the only person in that room tonight.
The room was simple, but clean, with four beds in it. Linda looked at herself in the mirror.
Whew, that was lucky,
she thought.
Even with the makeup, I don't look 16.
Suddenly, a terrible noise came from the computer, music like cats fighting.
What is that?
Linda wondered, opening the PC. On the screen were the words, You've got email. She clicked on them, and the terrible music stopped. The message was from Mr. Wells.
Your computer is repaired, and Matt's time trip file says he arrives on the day of the accident at 9 a.m. Be careful, Mr. Wells. P.S. I hope you like my new invention, emails across time.
So, if Matt arrives here, it will be tomorrow,
thought Linda.
Now I can relax a little. I didn't see Newbridge very well this morning. But Matt always tells me what a nice city it is. I'm going to see.
Walking around the downtown area, Linda now saw a big modern shopping centre and a lot of fine Victorian stone buildings, like the railway station and the theatre. But one thing disturbed her. Everywhere she looked, she saw the same name. The multi-screen movie theatre, the leisure centre, the football stadium, offices, all belonged to one man. Bob Everslime. There were also innumerable election posters on the walls on the buses.
Everslime for mayor. He's just and fair. Fight crime. Vote Everslime. Want a job? Vote for Bob, she read.
Linda remembered that Matt didn't like Everslime. After walking for a long time, Linda found herself in a street she recognised. Matt Street. She saw a familiar car stop outside Matt's house. And his parents got out.
I don't care what Mr. Wells says,
thought Linda determinedly.
I can't let them die in that accident tomorrow.
She looked at her watch. 3 o'clock. Matt was still at school. She went up the drive and rang the bell. Mr. Johnson opened the door.
Ah, Matt's friend from this morning, he said, smiling, but looking at her with curiosity.
Oh, no. The makeup,
thought Linda, becoming red with embarrassment.
I must speak to you,
she stammered.
You're in danger.
Mr. Johnson's expression changed. Well, Linda, come in. As Linda closed the door behind her, she was surprised to see the black car with the two rude men from that morning parked on the other side of the street. It was a new day in the smoky streets of Victorian Newbridge. But for the pale, thin people walking sadly to the factories, it was like every other day. Matt, accompanied by Mr. Grimlard, saw that the fog wasn't fog, but smog from the factory chimneys. Outside the city, the smog cleared, revealing the mine buildings, black with coal dust.
This is where you'll spend the rest of your days, boy,
laughed Grimlard, cruelly.
Mr. Everslime's coal mines!